I mean, that's not funny. Chris Underhill to come up. Come on up here, brother. Not a lengthy introduction, except, again, I will say, this man is a testimony of God's grace. Some of you know Chris. I know he's been associated with Fellowship Bible Church for years, yeah. 20 years at least, I would think. Chris has a history, and it's a history of God's intervening grace in his life. You think of the word wretch, to save a wretch like me, that's him, okay?
It is, without a doubt.
And I remember a phone call I got from Chris, and this is all I'm going to share. Chris got saved, got his life right with the Lord, got on fire for the Lord. And he called me one day and said, "What do you think about me going to seminary?" Now, of all the people in the world that I would not have thought would go to seminary is Chris Underhill. But he not only went to seminary, of course, he graduated undergraduate, went to Southeastern Seminary, graduated there, went on to get his Doctor of Ministry degree with Dr. Johnson's help.
A lot of her help.
This man is a testimony of God's grace. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Put that on your bed. Thank you.
To add to his story, after I became a chaplain, I had called Donald. And I said, "Donald, did you ever think I'd become a chaplain?" I remember he chuckled and said, "Chris, I never thought you'd get saved, son. Let's be a chaplain." So I am a testament to God's grace. To add to some of what has been said, Terry says that he needs, part of what's great about being a chaplain is he needs permission to go somewhere, right? I don't need permission. I automatically have permission to be in certain places that a lot of people can't go. I have the authority to go and do things that a lot of people can't do. And that's a huge blessing because they insert me purposefully. And they send me to places like Korea so that I can do mission work. And they pay me for it. That's what's even more beautiful about it is they pay me for it. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as I stand here, I pray, Lord, that they see you and not me, Lord, that you'll hide me behind your cross, Lord. I am a testament to your grace and your grace alone. I'm not here by my own merits, Lord. I'm here because of people who were behind me and supported me that you trusted them with my life. I'm much grateful for this church and this family that I have. I pray, Lord, that your word is spoken today. We ask these things in your name. Amen. The victory in Jesus. Can you pull that back up? I want to say something about that real quick. And you keep saying guest speaker. I understand I'm a guest speaker, but I'm telling you, I do not feel like a guest here. Guests are kind of uncomfortable. They don't know what to do. I'm at home here. I know I'm at home. I want to thank you for that. I wanted to say this. When I was doing this, a lot of the stuff that we sing, we have some of the modern modern songs. You're not getting this. Don't let this go away. Keep the hymns. Keep the old stuff as you sing. You're not going to be singing about my sins. You're not going to be singing about repentance. When you listen to a lot of the new songs, you're not getting that deep theology. Please, 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 I beg you to keep singing these things. It warms my heart. Thank you. Who got one of these? A couple of people got. Do you know what these is? Know what these are? It's a 30. This is the fun part of my job. This is a 30-millimeter round that got shot of an Apache in South Korea at a range where they were doing their training. So it came from Korea. Whoever got it, somebody can have this one. But it was maybe about a year old. So I'm going to start with Romans 12, 4 through 5. "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, individually members one another." As I said, Donald never thought I'd be a chaplain. I got baptized right over here. I was talking about this morning. I got baptized here many years ago. And if you'd have told me that I was going to be a chaplain, I'd have said, "You're crazy." But what happened through my story through here, as many of you know, for those who don't know, is I started out here. And I went through a life journey, and I had many, many men here disciple me. And through that part, I'm now a part of you. I'm another member of the body, and I'm very grateful for that. But what I want to do with you today is just share with you 4 or 5 points of what you and why you, the local church, is important, why you're important to me, why you're important to so many other people. The first one is because of your prayers, your financial help, and just mentorship, people that I've called and asked for help. One of the things that I can do is I have a fast reaction time as a chaplain. What I mean by that is a lot of times with the funding that I get through the government or whatever entity, I have to do paperwork, bunches of paperwork. I have to sit down and I have to fill it all out. I have to put out why it's going to where it's going, who's it going to, and it's a long process. Even when they say that it's emergency money, you can get it fast. Has any government ever did anything fast? They haven't. The only thing they do fast is kill and destroy. That's about it. Anything beyond that, it takes time, a lot of time. But the thing about that is, as I'm doing this paperwork, I don't have to have justification either. Because I don't have to file paperwork for the funding that you give me. The funding that you give me, I have immediate access to, no paperwork. I'm very, very grateful for the faith and the trust that you placed into me with the money that you gave me. I was able to do many, many things with it, and I'll get to that later. But I'm not sitting back going, well, you see, I felt this need right here, and this is why I need to fill this need. And if I fill this need, then this many people are going to be affected, and this many people over here, and this guy looks good, or this guy looks good. It's, there's a need, and I can fill it. I have the funding. 2, you have a direct impact on people in need. Soldiers know that a local church cares for them, not a general care package. John, when you were downrange, how many care packages did you get?
More than I can count.
What was in those care packages?
Food. Food's probably the main thing. Some like socks, clothes, personal hygiene items. I mean, any number of.
How many years ago was that?
13 years ago.
We're getting the same stuff 13 years later. Exact same stuff. A general care package. I get hundreds of them. Blue Star Moms is a great, great organization. They help me tremendously, but they send the exact same thing. I'll get candy, coffee, socks, toothpaste, toothbrushes, wet wipes. They're all great, don't get me wrong. Absolutely wonderful, especially when you're downrange. But it's a general care package. I know when I get that, yes, somebody cares for me, but it's not me. They care for soldiers. I can go and help one person and make it personable. When you meet somebody, we were talking about a general friend of ours. When we first met, he had met my wife, and I had told him, I think it was just Bella at the time, right? We had one kid, I can't remember, but I know he remembered. He met her 2 months later, sometime later, when he saw us again randomly, only met her once. Hey, Megan. Boom. Automatically seared him into my heart. He remembered my wife's first name. It wasn't Sergeant Underhill and his wife. It was Megan and Chris Underhill. He remembered. It was very personable. So soldiers know, because I tell them, hey, look, my church helped me get this for you. My home church, you're my home church. My home church helped me do this. And with no paperwork, I don't have to have justifications, which means I'm able to meet those needs. So I'm not sitting back, like I said before, saying this is what I need, this is why I need it. And 3, it shows the unit the importance of the local church. How many times do you want to see something right now? God, hey, God, I want help. You don't see it. That's one of the reasons why I love coming back here. Absolutely coming back here. Because I know a lot of churches, a lot of people don't get a chance to see their fruit. Don't get to see what God's doing. They see firsthand results. They see the local church doing something. They see the local church making a direct impact, not in just the unit, in their lives. They benefit from the local church. And when they benefit from it, especially commanders, you know this. If the commander looks good, what happens? He loves it. Hey, the chaplain's making me look good. Let's tell people about the church. Let's go ahead and tell these people. Let's go ahead and promote this all the time. How many times you can ask Megan, I'll be doing something, and all of a sudden the commander will call me and say, hey, don't you have that missionary fund stuff? I'm like, yeah, I do. What do you need? Well, you see, I was hoping that, and I can tell them no. That's the beauty of it too. Hey, can you do this? No. Or, I don't know, funds are getting kind of low. It's not really that important to me right now. There's some other stuff over here. I can't do that with the other stuff because I have to justify that stuff. He signs off on it. He underwrites it. You have no idea how much it empowers me as a chaplain to do the Lord's work when a commander comes to you and says constantly, hey, we've got a need. And I know you've got some missionary funds. I know your home church helps you a lot. It promotes him so much. And my last commander is a testament to that because he looked at me and told me that he didn't want anything to do with chaplains. Chaplains were bad. He had bad experiences. But when I left, he loved me to death. And I believe wholeheartedly, I absolutely, positively changed his outlook on what chaplains do and how impactful they can be. How I can take a unit. Lord can use me to take a unit and keep it steady. A steady state, and impact people for a lifetime. The new chaplain that came in, I was constantly calling him. I want to make sure that what was set up was continued on for the Lord. And I keep calling him, and I basically finally figured out I needed to quit calling him and leave him alone. Because he told me, he said, Chris, God set stuff up so well for me here through you that I don't need help anymore. Just let it go, man. Go to your class. Four, you build missionaries for God. You build missionaries for God. I can't say that enough. Acts 11, 19 through 23. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. What you need to really look at here is because they love the saints. I've been associated with this church for so many years, I can't remember now. Over 20 years. And you have built me up. I would not be who I am today without the men in this church. Without men like Donald Dickens, Terry Manahan, Ken Doss, men that Glenn Vonk, that have, I can't say it enough, I keep telling people over and over and over. How much y'all mean to me. How much my life has changed. How much grace God has given me because of you. How much grace and love you have given me. I'm not standing here today and have what I have because I'm a super duper paratrooper, because I'm this great American, Captain American guy. The only reason I'm standing here today is because you built me up. And the blessing that I have is to be able to come back and tell you so. I know many churches don't see the fruit of their labor. I know many missionaries never see the fruit of their labor. They don't get to see it. They die looking for something in the future, hoping, praying, have faith, and they never see it. I have been extremely blessed to see fruit over and over and over, and I do not take that for granted. Not even in the slightest. And I'm more than willing to come back and let you know that what you're doing is absolutely wonderful. Keep it up. Part of my doctorate, me and Jenny, mostly Jenny, did a case study of Fellowship Bible Church. And the reason I did a case study here was because after going through years of different churches and watching and listening and seeing the leaders there and seeing the amount of missionaries and mature men that other churches have, I can tell you that this church by far produces more mature men per size and more missionaries than any great megachurch. When you look at the percentage of it, over the years, I can promise you, you can do the math, that more mature men and more missionaries are sent out from this church for your size. You outdo a megachurch. You outdo the medium church. And I know for a fact that's because of you stay true to the word and you spend the time and energy. You do the hard work. Part of the chapel corps' unwritten, unsaid principle is be willing to do the hard work. And I've said that for a while. And I watched a TED talk and there was a guy who said that. He said, you got to be willing to change and be willing to do the hard work. If you're not willing to do the hard work, then why even do it at all? And Terry, we all know that if I wasn't God sent, I'd have quit by now. It's been tough. I used to wonder about spiritual warfare. Didn't know if it was true or not. And my wife can attest to the fact that I know without a doubt that when I became a chaplain, it's real. It's real and it's alive. So with all that, number five, you give me strength to carry on through the hard times. Colossians 1, 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope that you have in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel. Because you love me, I know that you care for me. The care that you have for me has not went away over 20 years. I know that you are praying for me. You know how many times this morning I heard, I've been praying for you. I'm glad to hear it. It warms my soul to hear it, but I already knew that. I didn't need to be here to know that. I know I have partners I can lean on. Donald can attest to that. Mike can attest to that. When I hit hard times, I call back to the home church. I don't call a fellow chaplain. I don't call my commander. And sometimes I can't call my wife. I don't want to put that burden on her. I know I can lean on you. I know you're praying for my family. I have no doubt about that. And that's important to me because I see what prayer can do. I've seen what God can do in my life. I'm grateful for that. And I know that God is using you. I can see it firsthand. I see the kingdom of God. I see the kingdom impact that God has given you. That's why I come back and want to tell you. I'll get into some of the stuff I've done, but I see it firsthand. I couldn't do what I did. When I went to Korea, the first thing I did was I know that it takes money to get things done. It just does. You have to have money to get certain things done. And I'm very resourceful, but when I first got there, funding was extremely tight. COVID had tightened the belt on everything. And I reached back and I had asked, hey, look, I would like some funding. Can I get some funding? And I got the funding. And through that, there's so many things that you have enabled that you could not have done any other way. So here's some of the things I've done through your support. The molders, I was about three months in. And after 3 months in, we had a mishap. One officer molder was no longer with us. I'm just 3 months in. Korea is the hardest duty station I've ever done in 22 years, by far. The best way I explain Korea is, for some of the older folks that knows what a merry-go-round is, I don't think they have them on the new playgrounds, but it's spinning. A merry-go-round spinning really fast, right? If you ever get to the playground late, they're already on it and it's spinning, and they're not stopping it for you. You got to jump on. So you start running around the merry-go-round, and when you start running, you know, hey, I'm trying to match that speed so I can get a graceful on. But you never match the speed because it's moving fast. So you put your arm up there. Next thing you know, you're gone. But you get on. It's not very graceful. We finally get on. But once you're on, you're good because you're spinning as fast as they are. Everybody's laughing and playing, and you got it. But most of the time, you want to get off. It's still spinning. You got to jump off. They're not stopping it for you. If you want off, get off. So you jump off, you do this barrel roll thing or whatever, and you knock the dust off, and you're like, man, that was a wild ride. That's Korea. Boots on ground, wide open, everything's new. and boom, I get a memorial. It's important because 3 months in, I didn't have time to secure funding. I didn't have time to do the paperwork. I didn't have time to do justification for a meal for the family. Part of what they did was this woman is just lost. Miss Mulder just lost her husband. She's an introvert. She just doesn't know what to do. She didn't know Army policies, Army procedures. She didn't know how to get her money for her GI Bill and life insurance stuff and trying to figure all this stuff out. And her kids doesn't have a Kindle. It's broken, and she's trying to figure that out just so that she can keep her kids busy so she can have some type of sanity to process all this. We went and got her Kindle. Here you go. Bought Kindles. We was able to do health care, child care, organize that. It was a huge straight impact. Didn't have to wait on anything. Katusa barbecues. A Katusa is a Korean augmentee to the United States Army. They are South Korean nationals. They joined. It's mandatory. All males have to go to the Army. And somehow they get picked to go, instead of going into the South Korean Army, they get to be a Katusa. And they come over and they support us. And know about every function in the Army has a Katusa in South Korea. The Katusas for me as a chaplain was absolutely, fundamentally, why I was such a success. God had given me a Katusa, two Katusas. But the second one was a believer, believed in Jesus Christ, and was phenomenal at his job. Absolutely phenomenal. And the problem with a lot of Katusas, when they get into a unit, people don't know how to integrate them because they don't have secret clearances. They can't have very limited computer accesses. So they kind of get shoved to the side. They take out the trash. You're talking about some smart people. You're talking about people who have two or three languages, have more degrees, smarter than I am, and they have to go to the Army, and then they get to the Army, and they get to the U.S. Army, and they're like, they're twiddling their thumbs, and they feel, cast aside, degraded. That's the word I'm looking for. They feel degraded because they were doing all this wonderful, smart stuff, and now they're just taking out the trash. So I was able to do barbecues for them. Hey, look, we're going to do a Katusa barbecue. I got every single Katusa that's in my battalion. There was 30 of them, I think it was. Was it 30? There was 30 of them, and I just did a barbecue. And I went and got their food. It was hard for them to get their food on post. I got their food, cooked their food for them, and told them about Jesus, told them about Christ, and let them know, hey, look, my home church, and when I said home church, they're like, what is that? I had the opportunity to explain to them about a home church and what churches do. It just seared them to me and they would have a lot of conversations. Last minute field barbecues. Many times in Korea, I went from TRADOC, which is, you know, you're training 6 months out. They freeze the calendar. You know, boom, boom, boom. I could tell you 6 months when I was in TRADOC from this today, I could tell you 6 months from now what I was going to be doing on that Sunday. To Korea, where it is, what are you doing this weekend? I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't woke up. What are you doing Friday? I don't know. I haven't woken up on Friday yet, so I don't know. It's constantly, constantly changing. That's one of the things that was so difficult. I couldn't plan. I couldn't plan. I couldn't plan. And when I first got there, I'm trying to plan all this stuff out, and I ended up changing it 10, 12, 13 times, and I just quit planning. Did the best I could. I did the major planning, but I didn't do any of the micro planning like I'm used to. So I was able to go when they made all these changes for training out in the field, and I'm sure that John understands this, constantly changing, that when they change this stuff and I'm having the last minute, they're like, hey, we don't have a hot meal for 5 days. We're going to be out in the field for 5 days. We're going to be out in the field for 30 days or whatever. We don't have a hot meal. There's many times for 2 weeks they want them to eat MREs for two straight weeks. Those are meant to have for a little while, not two straight weeks. I was able to, at the last minute, go, okay, I'm going to go out. I'm going to go get hot dogs and hamburgers or whatever it is, buy the supplies and take it out there and give them a respite. Because one of the great things about chaplain going to the field is if you're talking to the chaplain, nobody's going to say anything. If you talk to me for a half hour out there, that's a half hour. You don't have to do training. You don't have to do work. You don't have to do anything. We can go sit in the shade and talk for an hour. Nobody's opening their mouth. Commander's not. First Sergeant's not. Sergeant Major's not. So I love going to the field because I get to do the most talking I've ever talked in my life when I'm out in the field with the soldiers. And you, especially when you bring food, because that means they can't sit for 2 hours now. Well, I ate for an hour, and then I talked to the chaplain for an hour. It was just a great, great time of camaraderie and getting together. Counseling's over lunch. I don't get a stipend to take certain individuals out. If there's a need and somebody needs counseling, I can't say, hey, I need money to take this guy to the Katusa Barbecue. That's where we get all the local Korean food on base, is Katusa Barbecue. I can't take him to a coffee shop and pay for his stuff. That's coming out of my personal funds if I do that. And I would love to do that, but I can't do that for everybody. With your help, I'm able to say, this person needs extra help. This person needs extra counseling. And in my opinion, I have never had more better counseling than over a meal. I believe wholeheartedly, I totally understand why the Last Supper was there. A meal breaks down barriers. You sit down. People get comfortable, especially when the belly's full. They get real comfortable then. But I have some of the best conversations over a meal. And because of the help and support that you give me, I can go, hey, look, this guy here, they just had a miscarriage. And he's questioning God. I remember talking to this guy. He was a captain. A lot of officers won't talk to other captains. They're scared it might get out or whatever else, especially in the aviation world. But I'm able to sit down, and this guy was struggling with his faith. He was a believer, but he had just lost a child. And he's trying to figure out, how do I keep moving on in my faith? Hey, man, let's go get some lunch. Come on, let's go right now. Right now? Yeah, let's go right now. Let's go get some lunch. My treat. Most of the time, they're hesitant until you say, my treat. Like, I don't know, my treat. Oh, okay, you're buying, I'll go. So, taking care of small details overlooked for fallen soldiers. We had a vehicle rollover, and it was a training accident. It happened at night. And in that vehicle rollover, I had a junior chaplain. Didn't know much about what was going on. And his commander was not experienced with memorials. And this guy was struggling hard on where to be, and because the chapel moved from here to here to here. They kept moving the venue, and he finally settled down. And by the time he settled down, he's trying to figure out all these details, the big details of things. And then they realize the day of, we don't have dog tags for the memorial. Where's his dog tags at? You normally set up an M16. So a lot of you have seen it, and it's got dog tags hanging from it. He didn't have any. You're going to have family members, friends from the unit. You're going to have commanders, a lot of people there. And not only that, after having 22 years in, that's a very, for me, very sacred place. Extremely sacred place. I want it right. And this chaplain was trying to figure out all these big details, and now he's got this. And I told him, I got it, man. Don't worry about it. I just went and bought dog tags. I went to the unit, got the name I could get, everything, all the information needed to be on there. Went and had them printed. Gave them some extra cash so they could print them fast. Had them done, took them back. And that was such a load off him. Because it only took me, for me, because I'm not coordinating things, it only took me about 30 minutes to make that happen. But for him to take that 30 minutes out of what he's doing, it was 3 hours to him. And I was able to minister to another chaplain by doing that. Special trips where I can give the gospel to soldiers. We went to Independence Hall. We went to a couple other places. And the beautiful thing about that is if it's not paid with Army funds, I can do whatever I want. I can preach whatever I want. I can talk to whoever I want. I can hand out Bibles if I want. I can hand out tracts if I want because it's not an Army-sponsored thing. The Army didn't sponsor it. It's not a government. It's Chris Underhill taking some people out. That's all it is. I'm not chaplain. They see me as chaplain. But it's not a chaplain government function. So I can take them out, buy some drinks. If you want coffee, good coffee. South Korea has some wonderful coffee. They love their coffee. So I'm buying coffee, sit down, and have some candid conversations with them. And quarantine items. There's many, many times where the Army just loves to buy in bulk. Here's 200 cases of water. Here's 200 toothpaste tubes or whatever. Quarantine is giving all this stuff out. Well, they hit the main places, but some of the other small places, some of the This is where Megan, having a wonderful, wonderful God-centered, Christ-centered wife, is. She would make special things. She's all the time making special little things to make things personable. And she would make these things and give them to the quarantine people in COVID. And it made a huge difference because that's what they did to us. When we got there, we had personalized stuff. And it really sears you in. So it ties you to something. And people would say, thank you. And I said, don't thank me. Thank my home church. Thank the people who are backing me. Thank Christ. So that's all I've got. Unless you have any questions. Does anybody have any questions or anything they want to? No? I want to leave you with this. Any time that you can give somebody scripture, any time that you can write it on a book, put it in a card, I don't care if you print it out, I don't care if you say it to them, give them scripture. Find a special moment to give somebody scripture. It will sear in their brain. You don't know what it's doing. You don't know what God's going to use that scripture for. I say that because before I became a chaplain, after the phone call to Terry saying, should I go to seminary, I decided to be a chaplain's assistant. Going to seminary, and I was transitioning over to becoming a chaplain's assistant because I wanted to know what chaplains do. And I knew as enlisted, if I became a chaplain's assistant, I would have direct access to chaplains, and I could learn what they do. When I graduated chaplain's assistant school, my dad went. And I can tell you this, I was shocked at how proud my dad is of me now and was of me as a chaplain's assistant. He's more proud of me now than he's ever been in his life. And I can see it and I can feel it. But he handed me a card when I graduated chaplain's assistant school. And I didn't read it then. I went home and read it. But what was in it was this, Psalms 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. All that he does, he prospers. This is coming from a man that I did not even know if he owned a Bible. I didn't even know if he understands to this day if what knowing Christ really is. But what he does know is that if I'm going to be successful, I have to be rooted in Christ. My success is not my success. My success is Christ's success. It's what he's doing and not what I'm doing. That's now my life verse. That is now my life verse. And when I get down and I feel like I can't do it anymore, I remember this. All because he wrote it down in a card and he gave it to me at a special time. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this time, Lord. I want to thank you for this church family, Lord. Lord, I am but a foot walking the path that you have set before me. Lord and Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the people who have taken and washed my feet from time to time to revive me, Lord, as I go on this journey, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will help me to do the same, to continually wash others' feet and revive them. Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll be with this church, Lord, and continue to grow many mighty men and send them out over and over and over and over. Send them out to all parts of the world, Lord. Send them as missionaries, as brothers, as sisters, as children, as men, and spread the gospel so far, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will constantly remind me that it is not me, it's you. Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll continue to use the church to guide and direct your will. We ask these things in your name. Amen.